Two middle school girls approached allegedly by the same person, and police are investigating to find the man responsible for this case in Stamford just days ago. But it leads to a conversation. Luckily, in this case, we spoke with Stamford police. They said it didn't seem like the person got out of the car who was trying to lure the girls into the van. But it leads to, again, a bigger conversation. If your kids, if even you, the adult, if you're going to walk alone in public, the importance of staying safe and knowing what to do if you are suddenly approached by a stranger. Joining us now, Jim Perez for Crime on the Mind to talk about how we can protect ourselves. And there are many different conversations we can go into, Jim, but let's start with the young kids. If we have kids, middle, high school, even elementary, who are walking to school together with a buddy or alone, what are some of the things you want families to discuss with their kids to stay safe? What are some of the must-dos in this situation?
Well, there's a couple things that can be done, right? But the first thing is what we've talked about all the time, and that's situational awareness. This is why a lot of people end up getting caught up, and even children get caught up with a bad person or in a bad situation, is because they're first of all not aware of their surroundings. They literally like run right into it. So when you're, what does situational awareness means? It means almost having like a 360 degree radar that's on all the time. So when you're walking, first of all, I would never recommend a child walking by themselves. I don't care how old or capable they are. I don't care what the distance is. They should always have a what's called like a buddy system, right? Like having somebody walk with them.
So even high school age, Jim, you're saying that high schoolers should not be walking solo. 16, 17 year olds, you're saying no to that.
Well, I'm going to tell you why I'm saying no. It comes from experience. Mm-hmm. We had a situation years ago where two girls were leaving one of the high schools and they were walking together, and they got only to a certain, you know, I think they walked together for like two or three blocks before they had to separate. And it was during that separation that this one girl, I guess, had earbuds on, was listening to music, doing her own thing, really kind of not being aware of her surrounding. And some guy pulls up in a truck, gets out, grabs her, attempts to put her behind a stone wall and, you know, and hurt her. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so she's, the only thing that saved her is that she screamed, screamed, screamed. She kept on screaming. She would not stop. As much as he said, stop screaming, she kept drawing attention. He eventually got in his truck and left. We found out later on that he was a sexual offender who got released from prison, and we weren't notified.
And that's a whole different conversation, Jim Perez. Certainly, yeah. We need to talk about that and the whole system and all of that for sure. That is a separate one that you and I should talk about for sure. But in this situation, so you're saying that even though it was a high schooler, and literally, I mean, you talk about, like, I mean, what is that statistic, Jim, that most of the car accidents that happen are like a half a mile from your home? So you're saying, even though it started off, they were together in that, mm-hmm. that small space where she was alone, she became a target.
Listen, a predator looks for solitude. They look for people that are alone. They look for easy targets. The minute you have a buddy system, and you know, it's funny. I teach this in the corporate world. Like, you know, I talk about how, like, you know, if you get into an argument with someone in an office, if you're in customer service or something like that, mm-hmm. just the introduction of a second person showing up behind you, not even getting involved, just behind you, cuts down the possibility of violence by more than 50%.
Well, because now it's out of their control. You know, one-on-one is one thing, but when you bring other people, now you can't control multiple people at once.
That's right. And predators, mm-hmm. and predators, whether they're, you know, whether it's violent or sexual or whatever, they want solitude. They want people, they want isolation. They want places that no one's going to hear you.
Well, sure. They want to be undetected. They want to be undetected. Sure.
Yeah. That's why the guy, in this case, took this girl behind a stone wall, because he thought he had it made, mm-hmm. you know, and that everything was quiet. But this girl, thank God, she didn't stay quiet. So my advice is this. Number one, you have to be aware of your surroundings at all times. Well, first of all, number one, you should use a buddy system. Number two, be aware of your surroundings at all times. And even if your buddy leaves and you're walking by yourself, that's where you need to be hypervigilant. You have to be aware of what's going on. You have to walk with confidence. That's putting your shoulders up, paying attention to what's going on the road. If you start getting into music or you're buried into your phone, you're done. It's it's over.
Yeah, you put a target on your back. And I was going to say, Jim, you know, something you just said before, I would imagine is also, you know, something you should think about even if you're an adult. If you're, I always think of the joggers, the people who go out walking their dogs, the earbuds and the texting and walking. I mean, the importance of not letting that alone time be the time for you to catch up on your Instagram reels or to catch up on your emails, but also to keep one ear open. You know, the importance of not wearing both earbuds.
Right. If you wear just one, then what happens is you amplify by a large percentage the natural ambient sounds. Okay, and that's what you want to be able to do. You want to be able to hear leaves rustling in the fall. You want to be able to hear footsteps in the rain, you know, that kind of stuff. So when you isolate yourself, you are literally isolated. I mean, you don't hear anything. And the closer the predator gets, the more emboldened they get, okay, because they realize that you're totally unaware. And these are the people that become victims. So if you look around all the time while you're walking, every 5-10 seconds, just look around, make sure nobody's around. Chances are that that's like kryptonite to the bad guy, right? They're not going to like that because they see that you're aware of your surroundings. The other thing is there's nothing wrong with, especially females, taking a couple self-defense courses. You don't have to do a lot of them, but you have to do just enough to be able to at least take care of yourself the first few seconds of an encounter, of a physical encounter. But it doesn't even come to that point. If you are aware of your surrounding, you're walking with confidence, you're looking around all over the place, you have one ear out for sound, you are already equipped to avoid the potential of a problem. Because as you're walking forward and you're seeing that one truck or van that's parked there, or the one person that's hanging out, or two or three people hanging out, you can now change course, you can do an about face, you can cross the street. And by the way, if someone starts coming towards you, the best course of action is to run in the middle of the street where you're more likely to be seen than not. Do not run the opposite way into someone's property. Be their property.
Oh, that's interesting. And actually, Jim, as we were talking about the phone, and certainly not to get distracted, does that include, though, because I've definitely used this move before, pretending you're on the phone with somebody or getting on the phone with somebody? I mean, certainly still staying active, but letting somebody know, like, if you feel like you're being followed or you feel like you're being pursued, how effective is it, though, to get on the phone with somebody in that time?
Not only is it effective, but it provides a microphone for those on the other line that can monitor what's happening. You know, it's similar to like when you go to a domestic violence call, right? Mm-hmm. Or when you go to a disturbance call of some sort. It is wise that if you're on the phone with 911, right, and you're reporting an emergency, it is important that no matter how much the dispatcher says, okay, we got it, we're all set, do not hang that phone up. Drop it. Because that phone now becomes a live microphone for the police department so that we can monitor things as we're approaching the house. You understand?
I do understand. Stranger danger, situational awareness, whatever you want to call it, walking alone, unfortunately, can make you a target to potential criminals. And so we don't want that to happen. Recently in Stanford, there were two separate incidents involving two separate middle school females, and they were approached by allegedly the same suspect. That's under investigation. Luckily, both of them were unharmed, but it leads to a bigger conversation, what we could do to better protect ourselves and certainly our kids in public. We've got Jim Perez, who is here, Crime on the Mind. Do you think, Jim, there's a false perception on average, not everyone, but on average, that either this won't happen to me or it doesn't happen enough to worry my kids over this?
Yes, I see it all the time, every day, no matter where I drive. I see it all the time. People are under assumption. Listen, because we live in a state that has relative low crime compared to other parts of the country, people have a false sense of security and they think that it could never happen to them. But, you know, one of the things that people don't talk about, and maybe some parents do, but most don't, is you should have a safety plan with your children. And that should be discussed every summer before you actually start school or before they're going to be walking on their own. And it should include things like, you know, a code word, right? So if your child feels like they're in danger or they feel even scared, they don't even have to be in danger, but just their perception of fright, they should be able to call someone on the emergency list and give a code word indicating that they don't feel right, and that something might be awry. That way, that person can get in the car or get someone to actually go out and meet them somewhere.
Mm.
But so things like, you know, keeping your safety plan in a certain location, some warning signs that you might be in danger of, and then list that out. You know, the last time you felt safe was where and with whom. If you don't feel safe, where can you go? To get to a safe place, you need to discuss those things as a family. Again, emergency contact, code word. When you use your code word, the person you should trust is someone who can return the code word back to you, or, you know, can acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a phrase that requires a response, you know.
Even a gesture, Jim. I know you taught me this years ago before I had my son, and it has been super effective, actually, not to scare people. But where we do, there is a physical sign. My son and I do it. It's very, very minimal. The average person would never catch on to what we're doing. But we have used it actually twice now in public, and it has alerted my son where he's not panicked, but he drops what he's doing. And we get to the car, lock the doors, and we leave that location where we are. And then we talk about it once we're off site. But that has been so effective. And we're talking, this was when he was 3-4 years old. We had this conversation of like a physical sign.
And the physical sign can work if you're at a large party, if you're at a big event.
This was a department store. Yep.
Yeah. Your child feels uncomfortable.
Right.
But you don't quite know that yet. Just them displaying the sign is enough for you to drop whatever you're doing, whoever you're talking to, saying, I'll be right back, and then just walk over and physically go grab them. These are all good practices that should be innate in your system. Okay. Mm-hmm. So after a while, it's just automatic. And these are things that people need to pay attention to, because this is what makes the difference between, you know, your child becoming a victim or someone knowing that they're always being looked after and they're not even going to bother. You know what I mean?
Whether
to harass them, it doesn't even have to be a physical assault. It could be just to harass them, to bully, you know, that kind of stuff. So there's it's funny. I was talking to my wife, right? And she's a therapist. And I said to her that you should come up with a program for kids that are getting ready to enter into middle school, the pitfalls of what to watch out for, what not to watch out for, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
The safety, because let me tell you something, the transition from elementary school to middle school is
huge. Brutal. I don't care what generation you are. My gosh, I remember it, unfortunately, like it was yesterday, and it was not fun. It was not
fun.
It's really tough.
But imagine if you were prepared and you had tools and tips and strategies to operate on.
Just the confidence going in. I agree, Jim. I agree. Let me know when your wife comes up with that program.
She's working on it, but it's going to be a reality eventually. And it's something that, you know, I think she's going to offer, because it's invaluable. I mean, you know, we send our kids off, right? Whether it's sports or whether it's whatever, we send them off and we don't ever think about safety, security, you know, them going into a bathroom. Listen, in today's day, you don't know who's in the bathroom even.
I know. It's
so
true.
It's important. True. It's important that when you go to the bathroom that you literally have to physically inspect it before they go in.
I know. It's so
just
scary.
It's a horrible thing, but it's reality.
It's true. Well, it's true. I mean, at public parks, when you use those bathrooms, you can't just send your kid. I know that's something I learned about just from watching. I mean, you know, there's always the downside, certainly, of social media, but that became a huge PSA, I feel like, in recent years, was you need to go in to inspect public bathrooms, no matter where that is, before you send your kids in. I don't care how old they are, and I can do it on my own. Check to make sure there are not predators even hiding in the bathroom. That's so true, Jim. It's so true.
And you're sending your kids, particularly in middle school, right? You're sending your kids to an environment where they're a lot more freer. They have their phone. They can get on pretty much anything they want.
Right.
And that alone is a danger. So there are things that, listen, we are constantly operating in a state of learning when it comes to personal safety and security and securing your family and making sure, you know, you invest a lot of time. It's your most precious asset. And yet we just let them kind of go. Go over there. Don't worry.
Back to that initial point, Jim, I think that there is a lot of the times a false perception, a false narrative, if you will, that, it's horrible. We heard about this on the news, but thankfully that doesn't happen here. Oh, man, that won't happen to me. And that's just rather proactive. proactive than reactive. We say that all the time on this show, Jim, which is why we have Crime on the Mind, right? Proactive versus reactive. And unfortunately, for today's conversation, we've run out of time. But I'm sure, especially as the springtime is really underway, more and more people getting out, I have a feeling we're going to have this conversation many, many, many more times in the near future. And so I thank you for getting that conversation started with us today. And we'll talk again. Don't you worry.
Yep. Absolutely.
Appreciate it, Jim Perez. And I tell you, the Perez family, though, seriously, let me know when your wife gets that program underway. I definitely want to highlight that on the show because I think it's really important. Very invaluable, as you mentioned.